I want to quickly say a big thank you to Setman and the pastorate for this privilege. I do not take it for granted at all. In fact, it's an opportunity to help me carry out my assignments and projects that I've been given. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts are receptive. Our hearts are open to you. We pray that you speak to us tonight, Lord. Father, we are ready, absolutely ready. And according to your word, Lord, Father, flow through us. Father, flow, speak to us. We command our hearts to become fertile grounds, to receive your word, and that they will grow thereby and manifest into good seeds and trees and fruits. Lord, that our lives will be transformed and everything around us to the glory of your name, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight we'll be looking at the God factor. The God factor is a very large study I've been trying to do. And for the sake of tonight's meeting, I'm going to call this series of the God factor the blessing. So I'm talking on the blessing tonight. The blessing. All right. The God factor ought to be the major thing we consider and not the last. Because sometimes people, when they talk to you in, let's say, in an office setting, they tell you that, especially when you work with people who are believers, they tell you that, haven't done everything, you now consider last the God factor. No, it ought not to be like that. Because if you do that, you are short-sighted. You are short-sighted. Seeking God's face should be the paramount, should be the number one thing we do. Amen. So the God factor ought to be the most significant part of everything we do. God first. Because if we do God first, we'll be able to get every other thing correctly. Just like Matthew 6:33 said, it says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Now, seeking his kingdom, seeking his righteousness is no different from seeking God. Hallelujah. Amen. So God first, the God factor first. Yes. Even I used to say it in business meetings that I haven't done this, you now come, but God taught me that it's not like that. It ought to be God first. It ought to be him first. If we do him last, we are short-sighted. So we do him first, we get every other thing. Haven't you seen where people just come out and they just know what to do, whether it's A or D, and they come back to B? It's as a result of spending time with God. I think it was, I can't remember who shared it, that said, I have so much to do for the day that I had to spend so much time seeking God's face, spending time with God. Because when you come out, when you think you've lost time, you just find out that things just fall in place. Amen. And that saves you time. God is the only one that can crash time and give you. Whether it's in business, whether it's in relationship, in your studies, fun life, lifestyle, whatever it is, God first. Amen. So, TGIF, like I said, is not what you consider after all others, is what comes first. We'll be looking at three Greek words that I wrote here. We'll be looking at sozo in talking of the blessing. Sozo, it means save or saved. It also means whole, to be made whole. It also means preserve. Amen. Preserve, made whole. Healed, sozo. That's what sozo means. The next one we'll be looking at is makarios. Makarios. It's also blessed. These are blessings, but blessing is in different kinder. Let me give us an example. For instance, we are in Nigeria now. We have different currencies, right? So we have 1,000 naira notes. It's what? It is money, right? What about 500 naira? It's what? It's money. What about 200 naira? It's money. So these are blessings in different measures, in different class of their own. Amen. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Why are you open to Genesis chapter 12? I was explaining that Macarius is blessing also, but another level of blessing in the sense that it is a self-sustained happiness. Macarius, self-sustained happiness in the midst of adversities. It's different from the first one. Sozo talks about healed, saved, whole, preserved. That's a blessing also. Like God, just like David said, he talks about God's protection upon you. Even you're going, and then I saw something. There's a video that was shared on the church WhatsApp group where I think it was a zebra that was walking on the water and left the water. He didn't even know that there was a crocodile that was trying to catch and just give a very big bite. And then he didn't even know. And he just went like that. That's how Sozo is. Preserved, protected. He said, he will prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. Not only that, he said, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. So whatever is happening, I don't even know. I'm not even seeing. The arrows are flying. They are not even touching me. Sozo, preserve. I'm kept. Amen. So it's different from Macarius. Macarius talks about self-sustained happiness. And that's the type that was declared, that God declared to the mother of Jesus. That's the person of Mary. Amen. He said, the scripture says, the Holy Spirit, the angel appeared to her and told her and said, blessed are thou amongst women. Say, blessed are thou. Amen. You are blessed. Amen. That is a blessing. Meaning, in all adversities, even in the face of all the shame and all the insult, and they say, how did this happen? Hey, what kind of thing is this? I thought she never knew any man. I thought they said she was a virgin. Even in the midst of all that speculations, blessed are thou, Macarius. So self-sustained, there's a joy within her that she knows because of that thing, it keeps her, that she's not even ashamed. Even when she goes around, she will walk around with her head up high because she knows what she knows. She knows that this is not a curse, neither is it embarrassment. It's a blessing. Amen. Amen. So Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. Let's look at verse 1 to 3. God told Abram, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Hallelujah. Amen. That brings us to another kind of blessing. What is declared here to Abraham is what we call Barak. Barak. It's another kind of blessing. Amen. Barak. So God said to Abraham, I will barak you. Hallelujah. I will barak you. What actually means is that he's telling him, I will bless you. You see, it's barak is an endowment of it talks more of physical blessing in terms of properties. You know, Abraham was so blessed. Now, today, in today's world, we have world-renowned billionaires. Like, when you hear of Warren Buffett, when you hear of Bill Gates, you hear of all the big billionaires. Their wealth now was nothing compared to Abraham's wealth. Abraham was so blessed, was so rich, was very rich. Because sometimes when we talk about Abraham's blessings, we tend to think that it cannot be equated to this. It's more. The man was so blessed. Was so blessed that, in fact, it's a good. Somebody was telling me what he said. May God just tell me, say, make I just come out, make I just go like Abraham, make it just a blessing. I say, may I be speaking to you, and you are the one not even listening or hearing what he's saying. Amen. But one thing I picked from there is that no one, anyone that he calls, he blesses. Amen. God never, he doesn't use people and dump like that. No. If he calls you, he blesses you for the work. He equips you for the work that he has called you for. Amen. So God baraked Abraham. He blessed him. Hallelujah. That's another dimension of blessing. Praise the Lord. So like we saw there, God told him, leave your country, leave your family, leave your home to a land that I will show you. So it was very evident that this is not as a result of effort or stress or hard work. Even though Abraham was not lazy, he said, I will make you a great nation. When God desires to bless you, your role is minimal, because once you obey and just follow, your own is just to follow. He will lead you in the right paths. Amen. He will lead you in the right paths. And what that will do for you is that it will bring the blessing that you seek. It will bring the blessing. You don't even necessarily need to look for blessing. Once you follow his lead, you just find that things begin to fall in place and you just see everything work out well. Praise the Lord. I'm sure Abraham didn't negotiate with God and say, God, you go give me cow, you go give me sheep, you go give me this. As he obeyed, whatever he needed was provided. Hallelujah. Amen. So we've looked at Sozo, we've seen Macarius, we've looked at Barak. We said Barak is an endowment to acquire physical properties or things. You know, you see, when God told Abraham that I will Barak you, Abraham understood. He understood what that meant. And that's why there is no gainsaying. He followed God wholeheartedly because he knew God's capability. Amen. When God sends us anywhere or he calls us for any assignment, let's do it with all our heart. It could be to just clean the chairs in church. Do it with all your heart. Praise God. It could be to just play the keyboard or play the drums. Do it with all your heart. It could be to stand here and sing. Do it with all your heart. Why? If God chooses to barak you, if he chooses to bless you, he will do it without fail. If he said it, he will do it. Praise the Lord. All right, so we will look at the next one, eulogio. That's another kind of blessing, eulogio. Another kind of blessing. This one is with persons in authority. To speak or confer some levels of authority to your sphere. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. There's a whole range of difference between barak and eulogio. The difference is this. Just like we said, Macarius was the one that, with Mary, she felt it on the inside. She felt that feeling of happiness. She had that feeling of happiness even in the midst of adversities. Then Barak was physical properties. Abraham saw physical blessings around his life everywhere. He lacked nothing. And then, but eulogio, this one had to do with, I'm looking for the right word to use to describe this. It's what was promised us in the New Testament. If you check in the New Testament, you will not see Barak. You will not see, I think only maybe like once or twice, you will see mostly eulogio being used, because we are a people of a new covenant. People, we are in the New Testament. So you will find eulogio, and eulogio is wider in scope. Barak was limited to physical things, physical blessing, but eulogio is a wider scope. Praise the Lord. Another way I can explain this is, oftentimes we've heard that, in time past, our fathers, the presence of God will come, dwell with them, and the presence leaves. You understand? It comes, but our own case is what? The Spirit of God dwells in us. Amen. And he stays, and it's a promise that was given to us forever. Praise the Lord. So if you don't drive him, he stays with you. Hallelujah. That's just the difference. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3-6. He said, how blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He is the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. I'm reading from the message. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Hallelujah. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. Hallelujah. Let me see what the Amplified says. Okay. Let's see the Amplified. It says, may blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. For he foreordained us. I think it was the King James who said predestined. For he foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted. Hallelujah. To be adopted. Revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent, so that we might be to the praise and the commendation of his glorious grace, favor, and mercy, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Hallelujah. What a great privilege. Amen. That's the difference. I love this one. I love this kind. So, what this tells me is that physical blessings is of no relevance when it comes to this one, because it's like this. Somebody says, I'm trying to bring it down to us in a way we will understand. Okay. If God were to come in the physical and says, let me give you a check, yes, of 100 million, or let me adopt you as my son so you get all my inheritance, which would you choose? The check or to be adopted? Eh? You don't know. The money big for your eye. Which will you choose? To be adopted, right? Because to be adopted means you have even that 100 million plus you are a son. You get inheritance. You get everything. Hallelujah. When God said to Abraham, I will barak you, I will bless you, all of that blessing, they are also hidden in eulogio. Because yeah, I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Even when he was living, look at what he told his disciples. He said, it is beneficial to you that I go away. Hallelujah. He said, because I'm sending you one in the same level with me, one in the same capacity. Allos Paracletos, who will perform. He will be a comforter, a counselor, a helper, an advocate, a strengthener. He will be all of these to you. I see that the Holy Spirit is even doing more work. Because Jesus today is in Capernaum. Tomorrow is at the other side of the river. Today is here. But the Holy Spirit, he said, lo, he will, even Jesus himself told us that, lo, he will be with you even to the end of. I like this one that he's not taking holiday. He's not going anywhere. He stay here. He been here. We stay here together. We know they go anywhere. Hallelujah. I love this one. Praise the Lord. So, call it Sozo, Macarius, Barak. They are all here in this one. Because the Holy Spirit has been given as the promise now. He's now in me. I'm in him. He is in Christ. Christ is in the Father. We are together in one. You may not understand what that means. But what it means is that when God comes, if Jesus were to stand like this and you are here, he's seeing you as one and the same. Because the Father is in the Son. The Son is, and the Holy Spirit and the Father, they are one. I hope you know that. Now the Spirit is in you. You have been transformed. You have been metamorphosed into a different you entirely. In the same capacity, that power of Christ is in you. So we do not need to start thinking here. We need to start thinking the kingdom way. When we speak, we should speak like kingdom, like a kingdom child, like a kingdom, like people who are children of the kingdom. Amen. There's a way, every kingdom have their language. I hope you know that. So, our kingdom, we have a language. There's a way we speak. We know they talk, you decrease. We know they talk them. We know they talk them. Hello? A woman was chatting me today. We belong to a group, parents, something like that. And then she said, my child is just 2 years old. And he gets angry. When he's angry, he flips anything. And then I said, I was surprised. He said, 2 years. Say, he flips anything in anger. And he's very, very fierce. And I asked her, I said, is he your first? She said, yes. I said, does he see anything like from the father or you? Does he see that? Because children copy what they see. He said, no, that the father is not like that. Even she's not like that. And they are not exposed to neighbors like that. You know, so she was trying to explain that she doesn't even know where this is from because he has not even started school. So where is this from? So we're trying to find where he's seeing all those things and all that. What am I trying to say? You know, children copy what they see. So we are children of the kingdom. What have you seen here in the scriptures? What have you seen? What have you seen in the kingdom? Copy them. Live that life. Hallelujah. So when you go out, you meet someone, don't hate. Don't hate. Love. Love. Don't hate. Love. Amen. So there's a lifestyle that is expected of us as people of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So we say eulogio pulls greater measure of impact because it's greater, it's wider. Amen. And more impactful. Eulogio is intangible. It's not like a barak that is tangible. Eulogio cuts across. Then the re-blessing of God, they are not tangible. I hope you know that. And that's why the scripture says we are not moved by what we see, because the things that we see, they are temporal. But the things that are not seen, they are eternal. Hallelujah. So you can see the reason why I'm in love with that other one. I like that one. That one makes sense. Amen. Amen. So the best God could ever give our father Abraham was Barak. That's the best God could ever give him. Barak. But the best is nothing compared to what we have now. Hallelujah. Because there are certain things they all need to do to draw God's attention or bring God to come answer them. Sacrifices and all those, you know. But now, if not by that, all the goats and everything around, you won't be seeing goats even. It will be very scarce. Imagine if we had to kill goat before our sins are forgiven. Where you won't see and buy? Only he lay yourself, the goat that he reached. So you can imagine. So, but thank God for the grace of God. Thank God that he gave us, what I love most about the sacrifice that Christ paid for us is that he paid it once and forever. That sacrifice took care of, that's giving his life, took care of our past, our present, and the future. Settled everything once and for all. Amen. So our now is better than that of our father. Which brings me to the next. What makes the difference between Eulogio and the rest? What makes the difference between now, our world now, and that of our fathers, the past? The difference is life. Blood that was given. The blood of Christ that was shed. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus that was shed. That blood, the Bible says, in it is life. Praise the Lord. In that blood was life. And that blood is what cleansed. Not only did it cleanse us from sin, we have gotten the power to do exceedingly above what our fathers could do. Praise the Lord. You may not understand the power of blood sacrifice. Let me tell us a little bit. Okay, let's open to the book of 2 Kings. Let's just go there. 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 3. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27. He said, then he mobs. Okay, let me read it from a message. Okay. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 27. Okay. When the king of Moab realized that he was fighting a losing battle, he took 700 swordsmen to hack a corridor past the king of Edom, but they didn't make it. I think that was 26. Then he took his son, his firstborn, who would succeed him as king, and sacrificed him on the city wall that set off furious anger against Israel. Israel pulled back and returned home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to paint the power of blood sacrifice. Here's the story of three kings that came together to fight the Moabites. Now, the story told us that they came together to enforce a strong, to gather a strong camp against the king and his people. And then they were oppressing them and killing them, and the battle was in favor of the Israelites. It got to a point, he gathered the king of Moab, when he realized that he was losing the battle, he sent 700 swordsmen, as in men who can fight very well, to break through a corridor, to hack through a corridor to pass Edom. All the men were killed. They didn't make it alive. So when he saw that, Otio, this one is beyond me, he carried his son, his firstborn, that would succeed him as king, and killed him, and sacrificed him. That alone, even when God himself saw the blood, Otio. So you can imagine, you cannot compare in the realm of blood. You cannot compare goat and chicken with human sacrifice. That's to tell you how great the sacrifice God paid for us to be redeemed. I'm trying to paint the difference why what we have now is greater than what our fathers had. Check in all of the Old Testament. You will not see any of the people God called that sacrificed their child or their children. Right? You see that they sacrificed animals. Abby? Uh-huh. Not Abraham, not Moses, not David, none of them. But God gave us his son. Amen. Why? We are now a replacement. So we carry something. We carry something. A price was paid on our head. We carry something. And it's weighty. It's powerful. Let's not treat it lightly. It's powerful. Because by virtue of that sacrifice, we can do so much in our world, in our sphere. It has placed us at a point where even he himself told us that, for we can do all things. Is there? Philippians. I can do all things through that sacrifice, through Christ. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. Even God himself honored that sacrifice. Now, blood is a currency. And that's where I'm going. Blood is a currency. It speaks. It has value. And it's in levels. We have the best and most precious blood, and that's the blood of Jesus. No wonder the Bible made us to understand that it speaks better than that of Abel. Abel was just human blood. As innocent, as good a man as he was, this blood is powerful. It's powerful. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 24. Okay, let me take it from 21. It said, this is the kind of life you've been invited into. The kind of life Christ lived. He suffered. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done. And also know how to do it step by step. He never did one thing wrong. Not once. Not once said anything amiss. Not once said anything amiss. They called him every name in the book, and he said nothing back. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right. He used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin. Amen. Free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing. That's where the Bible says, by his stripes, we were healed. We were healed. Not that we are going to be. We were. It's already done. A price already paid for us. Amen. By his stripes, we were healed. You were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. Now, you are named and kept for good by the shepherd of your soul. Amen. That's what he did. By his stripes. See the blood? We're still talking about the blood. That's how powerful. By his stripes, we were healed. Amen. I love the part where he said, he suffered. He became sin. To rid us of sin. So we don't need to go through all those torture and all those things. We don't need to allow the devil even accuse us of our past again because he's been taken care of. He wiped the slate clean. Amen. He wiped the slate clean. He paid the price. and made us righteous in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at John 16. John chapter 16. Let's take it from 4. I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day, but now I am on my way to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, where are you going? Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say it again, this truth. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he will expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control. That judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the spirit of the truth, he will take you by the hand. He will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen. And indeed, out of all that I have done and said, he will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Hallelujah. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said he takes from me and delivers to you. So everything the Father has, they are Christ's. And Christ said the Holy Spirit takes it from him and delivers to who? To us. Amen. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, I have all things. I have all things that pertains to life and godliness. It's in the scripture. He says so. Hallelujah. Amen. So he gave us the Holy Spirit, Allos Paracletos. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the word Allos Paracletos talks about another of the same sort. Another of the same sort. It's different from heteros. Another of the same sort. Let me try to. If I take Kenny, what phone do you use? iPhone. If I take your iPhone from you and I said, I'm going to give you an iPhone, big boy. Natalie, what phone do you use? Samsung. Okay. If I take your Samsung from you and I give you a Nokia phone, have I given you the same phone? No. But if I take your iPhone from you, iPhone has levels now, see? If I take your iPhone from you, let's say you bought it for 80K. I know it's not up to that. So let's say I take that phone from you and I give you the original of that one. That's like 400. I think it was Mrs. This phone that I saw one day. When I had the amount of the phone, I said, yeah. So, let's say I take that phone from you, that iPhone, and I give you a higher version of that phone. I've actually given you an iPhone, right? It's still the same iPhone. Or probably I give you the same phone, but a new one. Of the same sort. How would you feel if I take that your phone and I give you a brand new one in the quality that the pack I give you? But you see, say now, this is exactly my phone, but it's the new one. How would you feel? He said, I am going. It's to your benefit. See,
I'm not trying to weigh the measurement between the difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit here. But he himself said, he said, it better for you say, make I go. Me say, if I don't tire for here, I'm done with my assignment. It better for you say, make I go. Because as I go, the person that is coming is a brand new version of the same sort. It's not less, it's not higher. It's the same thing. But it's a friend, it's new, it's fresh. And it's limitless. Even the disciples at the time, over familiarity, they won't worry them. They were with Jesus. Jesus was telling them, he said, look at it here, he's here. There was something he said that caught my attention. He said, as if, let me not waste our time, but I read it earlier when I read this place. He was talking about that, I have been with you, and you people are still asking me. After he has finished talking, they were asking him again. They say, in fact, Jesus was patient. If there's some kind of people, we need to give some of them. Not quite. They say, what he has finished with them, they were still asking questions. They still did not understand. Like, he should just break their head and put the thing. They are lucky Jesus is not like Pastor Nwai. Eh? I talk one thing, you they ask me. I talk, you they ask. Eh? We were asking Jesus, the death of Jesus many years ago in church in Delta State. And the guy that was asking Jesus, Brother Edison, the guy that was to flog him, they told him, do one small, small. He changed the cane and brought, it was plantain leaf we used. You know, it's light. It won't do anything. And that guy, I don't know whether I lost the cane. Go carry the one that they used for house. And he papa na. His papa na soldier. He go carry papa came in whip. What do they call it? Koboko. Uh-huh. And brought it. And flogged Brother Edison. The cross itself when he carried first is heavy. And they even the pity him first. And then he flogged Brother Edison. Flogged him. Whia, whia. Ah, the guy wonders. Ah. As he flogged him, only the guy had like Jesus. People were surprised. He threw away the cross. He pushed the guy. So, you can imagine what Jesus endured for me. For me. When I changed my korokwe, I removed the horn. I can't remember if it was Sepma or Pastor Nwai one day that said something about control or something. And it was in church. And I just went to my mechanic and said, remove this horn. I wanted to use it to test myself. When I will come out, I want to press and I remember that, the owner said, hey, I have to be patient. Sometimes my wife will sit beside me and say, you will learn. And I had to learn patience. I had to learn to endure. You see some people like, hi. So, you know Lagos drivers now, it's like, especially in this Ogudu, the keke, they are not normal. So, sometimes it's like, you just come down and just flog sense into their head. But I had to learn to the point that I got so used to it. No horn, nothing. I'm just going, Jeje. Is it that I? Because that's what prayer does. Prayer is not so that you get everything to work for you. Sometimes it changes you. Amen. Prayer changes you. Praise the Lord. So it's not everything, Lord, it has to be this. Lord, it must be this. No. Pray. It will change you. And then you will change position and you see differently and you know that, especially when you understand the will of the Father. Amen. What Jesus was to his disciples, the same thing the Holy Spirit would be to them. The same thing. What Jesus was to his disciples, and that's what the Holy Spirit is to us today. He's a friend, he's a comforter, he's everything. Let's open to 2 Corinthians, as we begin to get ready to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. It said, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. What I want to bring out from there is the communion. We share that all the time when we share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Now, that's where I want to bring out we see that the communion, I think that's the word koinonia in Greek, communion is also, it talks about partnership, praise the Lord, communion with the Holy Spirit. Partnership, it talks about fellowship, praise the Lord. It talks about fellowship, it talks about participation, intercourse. You see, that word is big, communion with the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot in there. Partnership, fellowship, participation, intercourse. A strong fellowship, benefaction, distribution, having things in common. Praise the Lord. Communion involves fellowship, which is sharing things with one another. Partnership involves all working together. And friendship, intimacy. Intimacy, yeah. Lastly, let's look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 to 6. Okay, we'll look at this and 1 Peter again. Okay, 2 to 3. Does it sound like we are patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our credentials, asserting our authority? Well, we are not. Neither do we need letters of endorsement, either to you or from you. You yourselves are all the endorsement we need. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. Hallelujah. With the Holy Spirit. Not carved on stones, but into our lives. Amen. And we publish it. We couldn't be more sure of ourselves in this, that you, written by Christ himself for God, are our letter of recommendation. Amen. And then the 1 Peter 1:22. I think that's what I'll close with. 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depend on it. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. That's why the prophet said, the old life is as a grass life. Its beauty is short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dies, grass dries up, flowers droop. God's word goes on and on forever. So our life, our birth, is as a result of God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Our word is beyond just this physical. What gave birth to us is God's word. That's what gave birth to us. So we are new, special, one that had never lived before. It doesn't matter what we have done in the past. It doesn't matter how we lived our lives before. That's just the gospel. And what's the gospel? It's the truth of God's word. Amen. Amen. The gospel is news too good to be true. So do not let the devil deceive you. That where have you heard it before? It's a news too good to be true. So when you come out and you shout, "Whoa! I am born again." The devil say, "Come on, my friend, keep quiet." Rejoice in it. You know why? Because it's a news too good to be true. He can't fathom it. No one can understand it. We were impregnated by God's word and given birth to by God's word. And the life we live is by God's word. I choose to live by this word. I don't care what science says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the economy says. I am living according to the dictates of God's word. Hallelujah. Let us rise up on our feet as we begin to pray. God's word is everything to me. God's word is all that I need. God's word is all that I live by. If the word says I am healed, I am healed. When the word says I am saved, I am saved. The word said to me, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I take it to be so. He said you are blessed with all blessings, whether it is Barak, whether it is Macarius, whether it is Sozo, whether it is Eulogio. I am blessed, fortified, fully blessed beyond measure. He said, I have blessed you with all blessings. Beyond measure. I don't care what the news is saying. I don't care what the internet is saying. All that is important to me is what the word of God says. What the word of God says, I hold it and I run with it like my life depends on it. Sickness has no power over my body because I live according to God's word. And God's word says, I am whole, I am well, I am healthy. I live the life of Christ. Our body is his sanctuary. No sickness, no oppression from the devil.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're all together, Lord. Oh, all together, Lord. All together, wonderful to. Here I am, Lord, here I am.
Praise the Lord. If I say praise the Lord, you say hallelujah. If I say praise the Lord, you say amen. This has been our offering. In 1 Chronicles 28, very quickly we're going to give our offering. Just let's remain standing. The Bible talked about David. It says in verse 9, it says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father and know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take it now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the patterns of the pouch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasures thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner palace thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. He he told his son, he says, "The Lord, serve the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts." Okay, so what I'm saying is that when it comes to worshiping God, there's no faking it. Okay, even when you show us on the outside, God searches your heart. Hallelujah. And the same thing happens, because when we give to the Lord, we are worshiping Him. Hallelujah. And it's not about the volume or whatever quantity you give to Him. It's about the heart that understands the God that He serves. Amen. And there's no compulsion when you want to give to God. It's an understanding. It's a translation of the understanding of who God is to you. Amen. And so it's a personal thing. It says, the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. So let's give our offering. I will give it. You may have your seat. I'll pass the basket. Please. Thank you.
To worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We magnify your name. Thank you for the opportunity once again. Thank you because our sacrifice, our worship is acceptable to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So please, Vision 130, very much in first. Disciple one person every 30 days. So what it means is that look for someone, prayerfully search out someone, and disciple that person. Preach the gospel. Invite them to church. Bring them to church. Just one person every 30 days. So just give yourself that target. And the Lord will bless you. Amen. Please, on Sunday, service starts at 8:30. Let's not be late. Let's come. And please bring someone along. Invite a friend. Invite a family member. Just ensure as much as possible that you don't come to church alone. Hallelujah. On the 20th, we have workers' meeting. That's Sunday after the next. After this Sunday, we have workers' meeting. So please, let's remember. And that's going to be immediately after service. So please, let's just note it in our books. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, let's rise. May we rise. How many of you listen to the radio broadcast?